ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Verse number 30. Tasyam sa janayam chakra.
Tasyam sa janayam chakra.
Tasyam sa janayam chakra. आत्मजाम अस्ति केशनाम। आत्मजाम अस्ति केशनाम।
आत्मजाम अस्ति केशनाम।
यवीयशा सप्तसूतान।
यवीयशा सप्तसूतान।
यवीयशा सप्तसूतान।
यवीयशा सप्तसूतान।
सप्तद्रविड़ा भूभृतः। सप्त द्रविड भूभृतः। सो वर्ड फॉर वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। तस्याम थ्रू हर सह द किंग जनयाम चक्रे बिगॉट आत्मजाम डॉटर असिता ब्लू और ब्लैक इक्षे नाम हूज आईज यवीयशः यंगर वेरी पावरफुल सप्ता सेवन सूतान सन्स सप्ता सेवन द्रविड़ा प्रोविंस ऑफ द्रविड़ा और साउथ इंडिया भू ऑफ द लैंड भृतः किंग्स। ट्रांसलेशन। किंग मलयध्वजा फादर्ड वन डॉटर हु हैड वेरी ब्लैक आईज। ही ऑल्सो हैड सेवन सन्स who later became rulers of that tract of land known as Dravida. Thus, there were seven kings in that land. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. King Malayadhvaja was a great devotee, and after he married the daughter of King Vidarbha, he gave her one nice daughter, whose eyes were black. Figuratively, this means that the daughter of King Malayadhvaja was also bestowed with devotional service, for her eyes were always fixed on Krishna. A devotee has no vision in his life other than Krishna. The seven sons are the seven processes of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering, offering worship, offering prayers, rendering transcendental loving service, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Of the nine types of devotional service, only seven were immediately given. The balance, friendship and surrendering, everything were to be developed later. In other words, devotional service is divided into two categories, namely Vidhi Marg and Raga Marg. The process of becoming friends with the Lord and sacrificing everything for Him belongs to the category of Raga Marg, the stage of developed devotional service. For the neophyte, the important processes are those of hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, remembering Krishna, worshipping the deity in the temple, offering prayers, and always engaging in the service of the Lord, and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. The word Yaviyashaha indicates that these processes are very powerful. After a devotee engages in the processes of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pad Sevanam, Archanam, Vandyam, Dasyam, and is able to secure these processes, he can later become a devotee capable of rendering spontaneous devotional service, namely Sakhyam and Atman Vedanam. Generally, the great acharyas who preach devotional service all over the world belong to the category of Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. A neophyte devotee cannot actually become a preacher. The neophyte is advised to execute devotional service in the seven other fields, Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. If one can successfully execute the preliminary seven items, he can in the future be situated on the platform of Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. The specific mention of Dravida Desha refers to the five Dravida Deshas in South India. All are very strong in rendering the preliminary devotional processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam. Some great acharyas like Ramanujacharya and Madhavacharya also came from Dravida Desha and became great preachers. They were all situated on the platform of Sakhyam and Atmanivedanam. Om Ajnana Nivirandhasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vritta Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, this is an interesting verse that actually tells us what happened to King Puranjana in his next life. So, King Puranjana is born as the daughter of the daughter of the king of Vidarbha. So in his next life, Puranjana becomes a woman, and he is the daughter of a king, and her name is Vidarbhi. She is actually very fortunate in this life because she has a husband who is a devotee and a king, and she has, as is mentioned in this verse, seven sons, and she has one daughter. And as is mentioned, Prabhupada explains that this daughter, her eyes are black. And Prabhupada mentions this, that her eyes are black because she's very attracted to Krishna. She's always looking at Krishna. That's why her eyes are black. So Vidarbhi is very fortunate that she has a husband who is a devotee, and then a daughter who's blessed with devotional service. And then moving on, Srila Prabhupada explains that the sons are none other but then the first seven out of the nine processes of devotional service. You see, in Canto 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 5, Prahlad Maharaj has very elaborately mentioned the seven processes of the nine processes of devotional service. And Vidarbhi is, she has taken birth as a woman. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions that in Canto 3, 31, text 1, where Lord Kapila is talking to his mother, instructing his mother, mentions Karmana Deva Netrena, which means the next birth for every living entity is defined based on the combinations of his pious and impious karma. And now, because although Puranjana was engaged in a lot of sense gratification, along with that, in that life he had performed a lot of yajnas and austerities, even though they were meant for fruitive purposes, but he was trying to follow the rules and regulations. So those fruitive activities, the yajnas and austerities that he did, the pious activities that he did, made him the daughter of a king. And also because in Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned, when you accumulate enough pious karma and when you have burnt up your sinful reactions to a significant extent, then you can be situated in a facility where you can pursue your devotional service. So Vidarbhi in this life is given a very conducive environment where she can progress her spiritual life. Now the seven processes of devotional service. Our Shriva Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken was by Shukdev Goswami and heard by Maharaj Parikshit. So Shravanam, the first process of out of the 9 processes of devotional service, it was the Shravanam, the hearing was perfected by Maharaj Parikshit. Now Maharaj Parikshit is not an ordinary soul. Maharaj Parikshit has had 2 very special and very difficult situations in his life. The first one is this one, at this juncture when he is brought to a stage where he was cursed by a Brahmin boy. The first one was when he was not even born. When he was in the womb of his mother Uttara, Ashwatthama, son of Dronacharya, wanted to kill him with his Brahmastra. So he had shot the Brahmastra, and his mother Uttara could feel the heat of the Brahmastra. And she called out with great desperation to Lord Krishna, Pahi Pahi Mahabaho, and the Lord immediately came to help her and to protect the child in her womb. So, and that time Parikshit Maharaj was only a small baby in his mother's womb, and he had the fortune of seeing the Supreme Lord. So he saw the Lord even when he was in his mother's womb. So that was his purity, that he could see the Lord at that stage of life. And that time the Lord protected her. And Maharaj Parikshit, after he was born, he was always curious, who was the divine personality who has saved me? Where is that Supreme Lord? That's why his name is Parikshit. Pariksha means to examine. So he was always examining, he was always inquiring, where is the Supreme Lord? And it is mentioned in the first canto where the sages of Namisharanya are questioning Suta Goswami, that even when he was a little child, he used to imitate worshipping the Lord with his dolls. He used to see the adults at home doing that, and he used to try to do the same when he was playing with dolls. So Maharaj Parikshit at that stage was saved, and then now when he is the king of the entire planet Earth, he is again in a situation where he went to the forest for hunting with his soldiers and his ministers. But on the way, he lost them and they lost him. He was by himself. And he was trying to find his way out of the dense forest. And then he happened to see the sage, the hermitage of sage Shamika. And he was extremely tired, very hungry and very thirsty. And he decided to get down, and then he went inside the hermitage. There he saw the sage deep in trance, in meditation. He requested the sage for some water, but the sage was deep in trance and he didn't respond. Maharaj Parikshit asked him many times to give him some water. He was extremely thirsty and hungry and tired. But the sage didn't respond. So he became completely bewildered. He was already tired. His intelligence was not as alert. And then at that time, he saw a dead snake lying next in the hermitage. And he picked it up and he put a dead snake around the neck of the sage. Now this sage had a very powerful son. His name was Sringi. And that boy Sringi was playing with his friends on the banks of the river. And that boy immediately could sense, he understood what has happened to his father. And that boy became very angry with Maharaj Parikshit. There and then he cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die within 7 days from a snake bite. When Maharaj Parikshit came to know of this, Maharaj Parikshit was not disturbed. Although the boy's father, Rishi Shamika, he didn't think anything of the dead snake around his neck. And he actually was very sad to hear that his son had cursed such a great king. You see, Maharaj Parikshit, he was not an ordinary soul. If he wanted, he could protect himself from this curse. And if he wanted, he could also counter curse. But he did not retaliate in any such manner. He had such strong faith in the will of the Lord that he started to prepare for his death in 7 days. And see, that's why these kings were not just ordinary kings. They were called Rajarishis, saintly kings. They had all the qualities of the saints and sages of that time. So then, he decided to renounce his kingdom. He gave up his kingdom and all the activities of the king, and he went to the bank of River Ganges to prepare for his death in 7 days' time. Now, when the people of the world of the planet Earth heard this, they were in great distress because they loved him, because he was a very capable king. And the sages of that time also came to him when they heard about this great calamity. So Suta Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami, all the other sages and saints arrived and were there when he was sitting at the bank of River Ganges. So that's when the conversation between Suta Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit starts. And then we understand how in 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit, without eating or drinking any water, without sleeping, he continuously heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. And in this way, he perfected his life, and he went back home, back to Godhead. On the seventh day, the snake bird came and bit him, and the poison of that bird was so powerful that his body burnt into flames. But his soul left and perfected his life, and he went back to Godhead. So in this way, we can all hear Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is a sure way of perfecting your life and going back home, back to Godhead. So this was the first process of Shravanam. And it is mentioned that we can just follow one process, or we can follow more than one processes, or we can follow all of them. As long as we do it sincerely, they'll give us the same result of going back home, back to Godhead. Now the second process is Kirtanam, chanting or vibrating your tongue with the holy names of the Lord or the glorification of the Lord. And none other than Sukadeva Goswami perfected his life by narrating Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sukadeva Goswami originally is the parent of Srimati Radharani. So he was always eager to hear about the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. So when he was a parrot, one time he flew to Mount Kailash, because Lord Shiva was narrating the Srimad Bhagavatam to Mother Parvati, and Mother Parvati was listening. So this shuka, this parrot, hid inside the trees, in the tree behind the leaves, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So Mother Parvati was acknowledging, and Lord Shiva would narrate. So they were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But after some time, Mother Parvati felt a little drowsy, so she fell asleep and she couldn't acknowledge anymore. But Shuka was concerned that Lord Shiva might stop narrating Srimad Bhagavatam, so he acknowledged, and that way, Lord Shiva thought that Mother Parvati is still listening, so he kept narrating Srimad Bhagavatam. And when after a long time, he was almost towards the end, then he asks Mother Parvati, "How do you like the narration?" And Mother Parvati say, she apologizes, "Oh, I almost fell asleep. I haven't heard the whole of the Bhagavatam." And then Lord Shiva gets concerned and he's wondering who else is here who's actually acknowledging again and again. And then he finds that there is this parrot sitting in the tree. He gets a bit upset. He thinks this parrot is just going to rattle off this Bhagavatam without actually understanding the meaning, and if this is not correct, and he's not eligible to hear Bhagavatam, and still he heard it. So he gets angry at the parrot and he starts chasing Shuka in order to kill him. Now Lord Shiva is chasing him and Shuka is flying everywhere, and then eventually he reaches the ashram of Srila Vyasadeva. So Srila Vyasadeva at that time is narrating Bhagavatam to his wife Vatika. And when Vatika yawns, Shuka, the parrot, he manages to go inside her mouth and enters her stomach, enters her womb. So in this way, Sukadeva Goswami then stays there for 16 years and then he takes birth. So this is how this Bhagavatam is facilitated, that Sukadeva Goswami was so addicted to it that he eventually became the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam for the benefit of the people of Kali Yuga. So hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam, although there are 9 processes of devotional service, yet these two are always given importance. Even the sages who have perfected their lives engage in hearing and chanting. It is not that after you've perfected or you've advanced in spiritual life, you give up hearing and chanting. No, it is mentioned that these two are of utmost importance. And even though we perform other processes, we should always hear and chant. So the third process is Smaranam. Now Smaranam is made possible only when we remembrance. Remembrance is made possible only when we know someone. You see, the minute you say, you hear that your mother is cooking something for you, so the image of your mother cooking something, you can see that in your mind's eye. So in this way, because you already know her, you see, if somebody mentions a name that is a totally new name, you can't place it. You don't know who he is or she is. So that's why Smaranam is only possible, remembrance is only possible if there is hearing about that person. If you know that person, and then later on somebody refers to that person, you will remember that person, right? And then also, remembrance therefore is part of Shravanam and Kirtanam. Just as when we are hearing the glories of the Lord, it is automatically remembrance of the Lord. We are not talking about the Lord, so we are remembering the Supreme Lord, right? Similarly, when we are chanting the holy names of the Lord, then the name is narrated, so we remember the Lord. So Shravanam and Kirtanam have Smaranam built in it. And then Smaranam was perfected by Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was a young boy, but he was such an exalted devotee that in spite of the fact that his father tortured him in so many extreme ways, he did not get disturbed. On the contrary, he just continuously kept on chanting Om Namo Narayana. Right? So that's why it is said that Smaranam is possible if we hear and chant. And also, Hiranyakashipu, he was a demon. But he initially didn't hate his son, he loved his son, just like any father would. But he was so envious of Lord Vishnu that when he realized that his son was a devotee of Lord Vishnu, he even started hating his son. You see, Hiranyakashipu, the name, Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means soft bed. So this is a disease of the people of Kali Yuga as well. Hiranya, gold, or opulence. We all first want to acquire opulence, and then we want to enjoy that opulence. We want to engage in sense gratification. So these two things make us envious of the Supreme Lord. As long as we'll be attached to these things, and to the extent that we are attached to these things, then we are envious of the Supreme Lord. It was the envy of Hiranyakashipu for Lord Vishnu that he could inflict such severe severe tortures on his own son. So then, but Prahlad Maharaj, as we know, was saved by Lord Narsingadev. You see, this is how the Lord instills our confidence again and again that he will come to protect his devotee. Now Prahlad Maharaj was a pure devotee of the Lord, so Lord Narsingadev came himself to protect him. But even for neophyte devotees, the Lord is always there. Then the fourth process of devotional service is Padasevanam, or worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. So we know that Lakshmi Devi, she is known to worship the feet of the Lord, as we see in the pictures that she's always massaging the feet of the Lord. But Lord Vishnu isn't present here right in front of us, so how can we massage the lotus feet of the Lord? So then Srila Prabhupada explains in Canto 7, where Prahlad Maharaj has mentioned these nine processes of devotional service, there he explains that we may not directly be able to massage the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, but when we see the beautiful form of the Lord in the temple, that is included in Padasevanam. And when you touch the Lord or the Lord's paraphernalia, that means you are worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. And when you circumambulate the temple, you do parikramas, that is considered the worshipping the deity of the Lord. And then also Tulasi Puja, bathing in the Ganges and visiting the holy dhams and doing parikrama in the holy dham is also included in Padasevanam, the process of Padasevanam. And after that, number five is Archanam, which means deity worship. Now deity worship, Prabhupada says, is very important for Grihasthas. Maharaj Prithu had perfected deity worship. He was an opulent king, and he was a very able king. And it is mentioned that he was as good as the Supreme Lord himself in his qualities. And he, in his, as far as knowledge is concerned, he was equivalent to Brihaspati. And Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods, which means he was extremely knowledgeable. So, Maharaj Prithu was compared to those great personalities in terms of his knowledge and abilities. And as far as his renunciation was concerned, he was considered a brahmachari. Although he had children and he had wife, but Maharaj Prithu was considered a brahmachari. So Srila Prabhupada explains that deity worship is extremely important, especially for grihasthas. Because he says, this is the only ashram where there is a chance for sense gratification. So there is also a chance of fall down. Srila Prabhupada mentions that if grihasthas do not engage in deity worship, then it is sure that they will fall down. So, deity worship, he says, in the temple should actually be performed by grihasthas. He says that the sannyasis are in a renounced order of life. They are already living very austere life and preaching. The brahmacharis should follow them and follow instructions from the sannyasis. And who are the vanprasthas? Those who have finished off their family responsibilities after the grihastha ashram, they should look to move towards the next ashram. Whereas grihasthas or family persons, they should be the one who should be very cautious and engage in deity worship. Because deity worship, he says, has the ability to purify us. Deity worship in the temple, for example, the process actually has a lot of rules and regulations. So when we perform deity worship at home or in the temple, it requires us to have a proper time. There is regularity, so we have to be punctual. We do things at the same time every day. And then there is cleanliness involved. And then there are a lot of activities, like we do different pujas to the Lord, aartis to the Lord, cooking is involved for the Lord. So all these things, they are a process. Everything has a process that has to be followed step by step. So what does it indicate when we have to follow a process? It means that we are the servants. We are made to follow these rules to make us understand that we are the servant and somebody else is the master. That the Supreme Lord is the enjoyer and we are not the enjoyers. We are the servants of the Supreme Lord. And this is our original eternal position. And we are practicing to start enjoying this position. So slowly and slowly, as we start performing these services for the Lord, be it at home, if you're living far away from the temple, then you do deity worship at home. If you're living closer to the temple, then you do deity worship at the temple. And slowly, we become attached to a service. And in doing so, we become attached to the Supreme Lord. Because who is the service for? It is for the Supreme Lord. And the fact that we start following rules and regulations makes us submissive. You see, the very reason that we are in this material world was that we were not submissive to Krishna. We were envious of him and we wanted independence. But this process of deity worship will instill those qualities in us that are needed then again to become a sincere servant of the Lord. So in this way, when we engage in the service, then the Lord also reciprocates. It's not that it is a one-sided service where we are engaged, but the Lord is very kind, he reciprocates with us in the service. So this was Archanam, the process of worshipping the deity. And it is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in Canto 2, Chapter 3, Verse 20, that the head that doesn't bow down before the deity of the Lord is only a heavy burden. In the eyes that do not want to take darshan of the Lord, do not come and pay obeisances to the Lord. The eyes are like the plumes of the peacock. Like the peacock feathers, they have eyes. They look like eyes, but they can't actually see. So similarly, what is the use of those eyes that are not seeing the deity of the Lord? And the head, what is the use of that head that doesn't bow down before the beautiful form of the Lord? So that's why Archanam is given so much importance. Then is Vandanam. Excuse me. So Akrura, he is known to have perfected his life by offering beautiful prayers to the Supreme Lord. When Kamsa had sent him to Vrindavan to fetch Lord Krishna and Balaram, that time on the way, when he was going in the chariot, he saw the beautiful footprints of Lord Krishna's feet and he offered beautiful prayers. So in this way, Akrura has offered prayers to the Lord and he has perfected his life. Then, the next one, seventh, is Dasyam, the mood of a servant. And Lord Hanuman has served Lord Ram beautifully and in the way that Lord Ram wanted him to serve. He could do anything to please the Supreme Lord, to please Lord Ram. And Srila Prabhupada says that all the activities of service that we do, we should do in the mood of Dasyam. We should see ourselves as a servant of the Lord. He says that when we see ourselves in this position, then we are slowly and slowly moving towards our eternal spiritual position of serving the Lord in one or the other rasas. So these are the first seven which form the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti or Vidhi. Vidhi actually means a process, and process has steps which we have to follow. So therefore Vidhi means we follow the process. We may not be naturally inclined to do it, but we do it because we understand that this is the way to attain success for life. Because we understand that this human form of life is only meant for chanting the holy names of the Lord, for engaging in Hari Bhajan. That was the sole purpose of this human form of life. So, knowledge but not actual spontaneous attraction, that is the Vidhi Marg or the procedures that you have to follow. But Raga Nuga Marg is when after following the Vidhi Marg for many years, then slowly and slowly you start developing attraction for the Lord. You become curious to yourself, be it Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. You are yourself enthusiastic to serve the Lord. No one needs to tell you to do it, but you are yourself curious to do it. You are enthusiastic to serve the Lord. So when you come to that stage, then Srila Prabhupada says, as he mentions here, that these two are, they are developed later on. After the first seven, then these two, Sakhyam and Atma Nivedanam, will be at a later stage, at an advanced stage. This cannot be directly cultivated, but they are a result of following the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti sincerely over many years. And as we know, Arjuna was in Sakhya Rasa with the Supreme Lord. And he was so close to the Lord that they used to eat out of the same plate. They used to play together. They used to share things. And Arjuna had such faith in Krishna that the Lord didn't even hesitate to become his chariot driver in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So you see, this is how sweet our Lord is. He reciprocates in such nice ways with his devotees. And then Atmanivedanam, the last of the nine processes, is perfected by Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj was the king of the demons at that time, and he had even conquered all the heavenly planets. But when the Lord came as a small Brahmin boy and asked him for 3 steps of land, he, although was told by his spiritual master, by Shankaracharya, Shukracharya, that he is Lord Vishnu himself and he has come to trick you, so don't give him anything. But Bali Maharaj said that he has come here, he's come as a Brahmana, so it is my duty to give him in charity whatever he asks for. So in 3 steps of land, Lord Vamandev took all the heavenly planets, all the earthly planets, all his possessions. So the 3rd step, he had nothing to give. So Bali Maharaj said, my dear Lord, you can put your 3rd step on my head. So he gave himself, he completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord. So this is how Atma Nivedanam is demonstrated by Bali Maharaj. And it's a very advanced stage. But as long as you follow the process sincerely, there is no doubt that anybody can get to this stage. So you see, the process starts with hearing and chanting. Out of all these processes, the chanting of hearing, this, or the process of hearing, is considered very important. It is said that the sound was the first thing that was created, the first element that was created, and was the cause of material creation. And sound itself can become the cause of our delivery. What sound? The holy names of the Lord. When we hear the holy names of the Lord, when we are vibrating spiritual sounds, they can deliver us. But when we are vibrating mundane topics, then they can degrade us. You see, just like Srila Prabhupada says, there are beautiful verses in Srimad Bhagavatam that actually describe the importance of hearing and chanting. And Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Verse 20 actually says that if you do not hear the prayers of the Supreme Lord, if you do not hear the glories of the Supreme Lord, then your ears are like the holes of a snake. And Srila Prabhupada says, who would want to go in the hole of a snake? No one wants to put their hand in there. It's a useless place. So if your ears are not used to hear the holy names of the Lord, the passings of the Lord, the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, then you're just listening to mundane topics. You're just wasting your time. Similarly, if your tongue is just yapping away mundane topics, chit-chatting, then your tongue is like, it's like the croaking of a frog. And what does the croaking of the frog do? The frog really likes this sound. He will keep croaking all day. But he doesn't realize that he is inviting the snake who will come and gobble him up. So death is coming. This is a significant the significance of this point, that we don't realize that we are wasting our time in mundane topics, in discussing mundane topics, not realizing that death is soon to come. And then we will never be able to come out of the cycle of birth and death, because we have never used our tongue to vibrate the holy names of the Lord. So, when the discussion is happening between the sages of Nandeshwar and Sita Goswami, it is mentioned that people come together, they congregate. If they are chanting the glories of the Lord, then they are perfecting their life. But if they are talking mundane subject matter, then it is called the pilgrimage of crows. Tad vaisam tirtham ushnati mansa. They say vaisam tirtham. It is a tirtha of the crows. They are just doing cow cow and they are not making any sense. But if you are using the same tongue to vibrate the holy names of the Lord, then Prabhupada says that it has the potency to guide the misdirected civilizations of the world. So in this way, hearing and chanting is a process that is an ongoing process, no matter what stage of your devotional life you are on. Hearing and chanting is always an integral part of your sadhana. And this is going to deliver you eventually from the material world. And Srila Prabhupada says that another important aspect is that we, as devotees, we should not waste our time. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Ayur Harti Vai Pumsam Udayan Astam Chayan Asau. Both by rising and setting, the sun is decreasing the duration of life of everyone, except for one who discusses the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, of the Supreme Lord. So, it is clearly mentioned that time and tide wait for none. Srila Prabhupada says, time and tide wait for none. So it is up to you, the choice is ours. How much of our time we want to spend in spiritual activities and how much of our time we want to while away in mundane material activities. You know how, if you ever have held sand from the beach, if you hold a sand, you grip it tightly in your hand, you see how, no matter how tightly you hold it in your hand, it starts slipping away. And then the more tightly you want to hold it, the more and more it keeps slipping and falling from your hand, and eventually you have nothing left. This is how our life is going to be. You just imagine when you were a 5-year-old, and then a 10, 15-year-old, 25, 35, and suddenly you realize, oh, this is just, it's like time is just flying. You don't want to be growing older, but you can't help it. We are just a helpless witness of the fact that time is passing by, the years are going by, and the body is growing older. There's nothing we can do about it. So that's why Srila Prabhupada says that we devotees should not waste our time in unnecessary mundane activities. We should try to engage in devotional activities as much as we can. Okay, I'll stop here. But today is also the disappearance day of Jagannath Das Babaji and Rasikanand Prabhu. So, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is he was a very, very elevated Vaishnava. He was known for his austerity. He lived an extremely simple life, and he used to eat very simple diet. Jagannath Das Babaji used to live for 6 months in Navadvip and another 6 months in the Brajmandal. Jagannath Das Babaji had very great attachment for the residents of the holy dhams. So he used to always be mindful of even the animals. He used to show respect even to the animals. So when he used to have his prasadam, he lived for a very long time. He lived for, I think, about 135 years of age. So when he was about 120, his body was completely bent, and his eyelids were drooping so much on his eyes that he couldn't even actually take the darshan of his deity. So his servant would put his eyelids up so that he can take the darshan of his deity. And he was constantly chanting. It was known that Babaji Maharaj was an extremely ardent chanter. He would chant the holy names of the Lord loudly, and also he would chant for his own chanting himself. And when he was in Navadvip, then one time Bihari, his servant, now look, people used to come and donate money to him, but he used to just put aside. That did not make a difference to his lifestyle. He would live in a simple bhajan kutir and he would just chant the holy names of the Lord. So much so that Bhaktivinod Thakur, he had called him Sarvabhauma, because at that time, in the whole of Brajmandal and Navadvip Mandal and even in Puri, he was known to be the most advanced Vaishnava. He was known for his bhakti to the Supreme Lord. Now, although he was old, like at 125 years of age, he was very old, and he had to be carried in a basket by his servant Bihari. But whenever he would hear kirtan, and he would hear the kirtan party going, he would just jump out of his basket and he could start chanting and dancing in ecstasy. And the devotees used to be amazed at how he could do that at this such old age, and when he's not even able to walk. Then Bhaktivinod Thakur one time was trying to confirm the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvip. So he wasn't sure of the Lord's birthplace, Mahaprabhu's birthplace. He wanted to identify which it is, because there were a couple of places which everybody was saying it could be this one or this one. So he knew that Babaji Maharaj is a pure devotee, and then he could confirm. So Babaji Maharaj was brought to these places, and then they actually reached the place of Mahaprabhu's birth. Then Babaji Maharaj again jumped out of his basket. He just bolted out and he was jumping very high in this, and then everybody was amazed. So he was in ecstasy and he claimed that this is the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was able to identify the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace in Navadvip. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually holds him in high esteem. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to always take instructions from him. Whenever Jagannath Das Babaji used to come to Calcutta, he used to stay at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. Although Bhaktivinoda Thakur always wanted him to stay longer and take prasadam and spend time with him, But Babaji Maharaj was very renounced. He only stayed as long as it was necessary, and then he would move on his journey. And Babaji Maharaj was very strict in his vows, and he had many disciples. So to his disciples also he used to give strict instructions. One time when Jagannath Das Babaji was going to have prasadam, then there were these puppies who came, and they used to often come. They used to often come and eat from the plate that Bihari would make for him to have his prasadam. And Babaji Maharaj would let these puppies eat from the plate, and then he would eat that prasadam. And Bihari would feel disgusted at this, you know, dogs eating out of the plate, and then his Guru Maharaj is eating. So he would just shoo them away and chase them far. But Babaji Maharaj used to say that they are the residents of the holy dham, that they are no ordinary animals. They are the dham vasis. So please don't chase them away. Let them have the prasad and then I will eat. So such was his level of understanding that he could see everybody as sama, as equal. He could see the jivas in the body of a dog as entities who could share from his plate. He did not have any discrimination based on whether they were dogs or cats or other animals. And he was so attached to not only this, but he was also so attached to the cows of Vrindavan that if he ever had money, he used to ask Bihari, his servant, to get a lot of rasgullas and other preparations, and he used to feed the cows and the dogs of Vrindavan. That was his mood. He was very heavy in his instructions, in the sense that he was very strict in following the vows. He used to always say that devotees who are really sincere in their sadhana should stay away from women and association of women, and also stay away from men who are associating with women in illicit manner. And he used to say that one should always chant Harinam or glories of the Lord regularly. And he says that never forget Gaura Chandra or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, this is the age of Kali Yuga and Lord Krishna came in Dwapar Yuga, whereas Gauranga Mahaprabhu came in this Yuga, in Kali Yuga. So he is the Lord of this Yuga. We must always pray to him sincerely because he is more merciful than Krishna. He said, Krishna will judge you and count your offenses, but Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he will not count your offenses. He will just ignore your offenses and only take your services. That's why he always said that you must pray to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he was the disciple of Madhusudan Das Babaji. And this goes back in the lineage to Baladev Vidyabhushan. Baladev Vidyabhushan had a disciple called Uddhav Das, and Uddhav Das's disciple was Madhusudan Das Babaji, who was the guru of Jagannath Das Babaji. And it is mentioned that Jagannath Das Babaji, in the Leela of Krishna, he was the Rasika Manjari. So in that mood, he is serving the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. And now a little bit about Rasika Nanda Prabhu. So Rasika Nanda Prabhu was, he was born in the 1519 AD. His guru was Shyamananda Prabhu. At a very young age, he was an extremely intelligent person who had mastered the learnings of the scriptures. He was married as well at a young age to a lady called Shyamadasi, and both of them were initiated by their guru whose name was Shyamananda Prabhu. So on the order of his guru, he had travelled and preached for 16 years in different parts of Bangladesh. And he was so powerful in his preachings that he was able to turn atheists and people with a demoniac mentality into very calm people and into devotees. A lot of zamindars, means the landlords of that time, rich and wealthy people, and even kings, used to take shelter of him and used to serve and follow his instructions. That is how powerful Rasikananda Prabhu was. And Rasikananda Prabhu had three sons, Radhananda, Krishna Govinda, and Radha Krishna. And these sons are still serving, their descendants, sorry, are still serving the temple in Gopi Ballapur. And so there was a Radha Govinda deities that was given to Rasikananda by his Guru Shyamananda. When he was on the planet, Sasikananda Prabhu was serving, and then after he left the planet, his sons were serving. He had three sons. And it is said that now that temple is still there, and those deities that were served by him are still there, and they are served by the descendants of Rasikananda Prabhu. So it is mentioned that one time Rasikananda Prabhu wanted to go for Rath Yatra in Puri. He used to go every time. But that one time what had happened was that he was still on his way and the Rath Yatra had already started. So he was in very much anxiety that he will miss the Rath Yatra of the Lord in Puri. So he was trying to make haste and get there as quickly as possible. And then it so happened that the Rath actually stopped. The chariot wouldn't move. The chariot of Lord Jagannath, the procession, stopped. It wouldn't move. And then the king was, he called all his elephants. And then the elephants were pulling the Rath cart and it still didn't move. And then the king was in great anxiety, the king of Puri, what to do now, why has the Rath stopped? And then the Lord informed the king that my dear devotee, he's still on his way, he'll be here soon. I'm waiting for him to come and pull the Rath cart, the chariot. So then the king understood and they waited for Rasikananda Prabhu to come. When Rasikananda Prabhu came himself, then the king requested him to personally pull the chariots of the Lord. And then finally the chariots moved on to their destination. So such is the glories of Rasikananda Prabhu. They are such divine souls. And sometimes it is hard to believe that they could so easily communicate with the Lord. And the Lord is communicating with the king. And the Lord is communicating with the disciples. That it seems a bit unreal. But as Prabhupada mentioned, that the process that they were following is the same process that is given to us. So we can also attain pure love of God and we can also have those loving exchanges with the Lord. But we have to be sincerely following the process. So in this way, these nine processes of devotional service can help us attain the level of the purity that even these devotees have. So let's sincerely pray to Rasikananda Prabhu and Jagannath Das Babaji to bless us also with pure devotion that they have. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj ki, Rasikananda Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. Any questions? Sorry, I forgot to ask. Anybody has any questions or comments or corrections?
What year did you say he was born?
Say again?
What year did you say he was born?
1590. So about 1500, 15th century. Yeah. Thank you. Granthat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.